Our Father and our God, we, your humble people, have gathered in your house of praise to thank you, O Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, your loving kindness, your tender sympathy. You are so kind, you're so loving. And oh God, we just want to be more like you. We pray now, O Lord, that you would speak to us now through this preaching moment. I pray that I might decrease, that your spirit might increase for the benefit of your people. We pray, God, for our world. We pray, God, for our nation. We pray for our community. And we ask, O Lord, that you would have your way. Pour out your spirit. For, O Lord, if we have your spirit on us, we know that we can do all things and peace can abound. Help us now, O God. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our scripture was so ably read in your hearing. I would like to reemphasize just one verse from our pericope, coming from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I just want to elevate verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Won't you pray with me this morning from the topic, Fear Not, Ye Children of the Light. Fear not, ye children of the light. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, we serve a God who is unchangeable. We attribute to God certain attributes, and amongst them is immutability. God does not change. God always remains the same. We can count on God. We can trust in God. We can depend on God because God stays the same. God is immutable. God does not change. But everything else does. Everything else in life is subject to change. In fact, the only constant, the only thing in life that we can really truly other than God depend on is change.
That's right.
Things will change. And when change happens, our response so often is fear. And my brothers and sisters, I come to you this morning telling you to fear not when things change. Your livelihood may change. Your comforts may change. The restaurants you're used to eating at may change. The car you are used to driving may change. The community that you so once loved may change. But fear not. Ye are children of the light. Yes, administrations change. And when we see these uncertain realities come before us, we respond so easily with fear. And in fact, our anatomic and our sympathetic nervous system overreacts when we are faced with uncertainty, when we are faced with new challenge, when we are confronting new change. Our body responds viscerally. We start to shake, we become scary, our palms begin to sweat, and we become overwhelmed with fear. But my brothers and sisters, the word from God this morning is fear not, ye children of the light. This past week I had an 11-year-old child who should be worried about his education.
who should be worried about excelling in his studies. Oh, this 11-year-old child could think only about the fact of where might he live. And now that we have a change of presidents. I said, son, why are you worried? He said, I might be deported.
Wow.
When a change happens, fear is very real. How can you say, preacher man, fear not when I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? How can you say, fear not, preacher man, when literally I can't pay my bills? How can you say, fear not, preacher man, when I can't provide for my children? How can I say, fear not? Because I come to you saying you are children of the light.
Come on now.
Yes, fear is a common response. But we can overcome our fear of circumstance and realities by leaning and trusting on God.
Amen.
When we look in the Bible, we see a common response to fear. Pastor, I'm thinking about the fourth chapter in the Gospel according to Mark. Beginning at the 35th verse.
Yeah.
When Jesus has told his disciples, let us go over to the other side.
Yeah.
And while Jesus is in the bottom of the ship asleep, the waves begin to beat into the ship. The situation changes before their very eyes. Oh, the ship was calm at first, but just as soon as they got out there in the deep of the water, the winds began to pick up. The situation changed and the disciples were filled with fear. What is the response for us, you children of the light? What is the response for us going forward when we are faced with uncertainty, when we are faced with changing realities, when our lives are literally hanging in the balance? Carest thou not, master, that we perish. It seems like each moment is so madly threatening, a grave in the watery deep. How can we not be filled with fear? Well, my brothers and sisters, ye are children of the light, amen?
Amen.
Ye are children of the light, amen?
Amen.
Ye are children of the light, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
What can we do when we are faced with fear? Well, we can look at our master. Yes, in the middle of this changing weather, we can look at our master and see what he's doing. And the text says that Jesus was resting on a cushion. He found a comfortable spot. And I want you to know right now, although things are changing, and although we are facing new fears, you can find rest in Jesus.
Come on now.
I want you to know that although the situation is changing, although the wind is blowing and the waters are crashing into the ship, so much so that you think you will perish, I want you to know that you can come unto Christ. Because he said, I will give you rest. When you are afraid, what can you do? Go sleep with Jesus. When you are afraid, what can you do? Don't panic. Don't fret. Nestle up yourself right by your master. Go to sleep with the sweet knowledge of Jesus Christ.
All right now.
Well, the text says Jesus went to sleep on a cushion. You can find a cushioned rest in the middle of this coming storm. Fear not, my brothers and sisters, for ye are children of the light. Our pericope, our text this morning, this first letter that is recorded in our New Testament is in fact the oldest recording that we have in the New Testament. This First Thessalonians is the oldest text. And Paul is writing to this church that is stationed as the capital of Macedonia. In fact, he can go quoted a Macedonian church this morning, which he was reading earlier. This city is a Greek city. And Paul is writing to them because he has received word that they are doing well. And he is excited, but there are still some things he wants to impart to them. We're reading this morning from the fifth chapter, where Paul is beginning to close this letter, but he wants them to be mindful of a few things. He wants them to be mindful that although people are saying the day of the Lord, although people are saying things are going to get better, although people are saying peace and security, although people are saying all is fine, we're going to be great again. I just want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that although the day of the Lord is a day of justice. And he tells them, don't worry about the day of the Lord. For you are children of the light. What is this light? Well, what are we talking about when we say that you are children of the light? Well,
yeah.
When we want to talk about this discussion of light, we've got to realize that this dichotomy that Paul draws is something that is age-old. Light and darkness. In fact, when he was probably preaching to the church in Thessalonica, I imagine that Paul would relate to them some of the consistency that they have in their culture with the culture of Christ. He's telling them, you are children of the light. No doubt Paul probably recorded to them or recited to them the allegory of the cave. How many of you familiar with the allegory of the cave? Yes, I saw a few hands, but the allegory of the cave was something from the Republic of Plato, where he taught that life and mankind are like people who are in a cave. And the only thing they can see are shadows on the wall. They are chained and they can only see the shadows that are made by the puppeteers. These unseen forces that are behind them. And what we must do to be free is we must turn around, leave the cave, and walk into the light. No doubt Paul recited and drew the parallels for them to see that they too were children of the light. And the light is of God. But what is light? Yeah, Paul would recite to them their Greek tradition. But when we look in our Judeo-Christian tradition, we find light first coming up in the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Yes, God said, let there be light. Through the power of Jesus Christ, the first thing God created, the first thing God made manifest was light. Ye are children of God's first manifestation. Ye are children of God's very best. The light, Christ, comes and created in the very beginning. And he separated light from darkness. We must realize that in this Old Testament text, there is a lot of metaphor and symbolism there. Because if you read down to the fourth day, it says that God created the sun and the moon. So if God said, let there be light in verse 3, then what happens in verse 5 on the fourth day? God first created light. And this is the same light that we are talking about. And you are children of this light. Light metaphorically and darkness metaphorically are where we are really trying to draw our focus. Darkness metaphorically means ignorance. And light metaphorically means knowledge. You are children of knowledge.
Amen.
And because you have this special knowledge, you have no reason to be afraid. When you are in the darkness, you don't know left from right. But when you are in the light, you can see clearly. This light is not something that is immaterial. This light is something that is concrete and real. This light is not something airy and aloof, but this light is tangible and it is living right inside. When we talk about the light and you being children of the light, we're not saying that you are guessing. We're not saying that you are hoping. We are saying that you know. This doesn't mean, do I believe in God? No, I know God.
Yeah.
Do I believe in Jesus? No, I know Jesus. Light means you have knowledge, not suspicion. Light means you have knowledge, not a hypothesis. Light means you have knowledge. Light means you have proof. Light means you have something real. And for you to be children of the light means that you are children of true knowledge. And that knowledge is that God is real. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. You are alive and present right here, right now. The span of all existence marvels at you, for indeed you are the true minority. When you look around, all you see is death and decay. But here you are breathing, living. You are alive. This is proof of God. When you open your eyes in the morning and you take in breath into your lungs and you move your body, it is not because of you. It is not because of your power. It is not because of evolution. It is because God, who is the first cause, God, who is the Son of all things, made you and ordained you and purposed you and started you on your way. Oh, we're wondering, do we believe in God? I heard some people saying, oh, I don't believe in God. How do you not? Do you not know God? It's not a question of belief. You believe in the Santa Claus. You believe in the tooth fairy. You know Jesus.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You believe things will get better. You believe a brighter day will come. You know God right now.
Yeah, yeah.
The first knowledge that ever comes to you is the knowledge of God. Mm. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Mm. In fact, the only thing you can know is God. Everything else you think you know is subject to change. Everything you think you know is airy and aloof. The only thing that you can truly know is God. Yeah. For that is the essence of your life. That is the source of your being. That is the foundation of all that you are. God, you are children of the light. Yeah. And when you have this grounding knowledge inside of you, you become immovable. When you have this grounding knowledge inside of you that God is in you, that God is with you, that God is speaking to you, that God is controlling you, that God has purposed you, that God is making you into something great, oh, you have no reason to fear. It doesn't matter who comes. It doesn't matter what happens. You are children of the light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is no knowledge that can come against you that can make you afraid. There is nothing that can happen that can make you doubt, because you are children of the light.
Yeah, yeah.
Not children of darkness. Children of light, true knowledge. Your whole lives you spend learning, getting information. Information that might change 20, 30 years from now. All I do is go to school and read opinions. New opinions, new opinions. And I argue the new opinions against the old opinions. But at the end of the day, the only thing I know is that God allowed me to be able to read. The only thing I know at the end of the day is that God allowed my mind to be able to put these things together and make me. The only thing I know at the end of the day is that it is God who makes my bones breathe. It is God who gives me the power to reason. The ability to make sense of these things that are around me. It is God that gives me intellect. God that gives me ability to speak. It is God that gives us the ability to understand sound. This knowledge of God is light.
It's light.
And we are children of the light, so we need not be afraid. There are three things, a few things that Paul gives to us this morning from this letter to the church of Thessalonica. And again, I said we only want to focus on verse 8. So when we look at verse 8, there's a few things that the apostle is saying to us. First, he says, let us. He gives us some direction, some how-to, some what-to-dos. Let us, first off, be self-controlled. Oh, since you're children of the light, let us be sober-minded. Let us not be out late at night. You don't only live once. You got two chances to live. It ain't about party, 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 let's all get wasted. No, life has meaning and purpose. And when you're young and when you're fruitful and when you're full of energy and vitality, you think that you can do everything and that you're invincible. Well, God is telling us through the Apostle Paul that let us be sober and let us be self-controlled. You can't control and be prosperous and produce when you are too intoxicated to move.
Amen.
Come on. Let us be sober and let us be self-controlled. You can't do for God when you are too overwhelmed with your situation. You're too stressed out. You can be intoxicated on stress. Do I have your witnesses in the house? So used to stressing out that you can't think straight. Don't be sober-minded. Be self-controlled. Your situation is controlling you. You need to be in control of yourself. That's the first thing the apostle is saying. Look, the second thing he says in this chapter, verse 8, he says, we got to get dressed.
Come on now.
We got to get dressed. Put some clothes on. Put some clothes on. That's a word to the youth. Word to the parents. Word to the grandparents. Oh Lord, the great grandparents. Y'all seen Facebook. Put some clothes on. Amen. No, but in the text he's saying, put on faith and put on love. He says, this is a breastplate unto us. We have to put on faith. And every morning we put on clothes. So every morning we need to put on faith. Amen.
That's it, yeah.
Every morning, I hope we brush our teeth. Every night, too. Some people shaking their heads, yes. Some people shaking their heads, no. But we need to get into a habit of getting dressed in faith and getting dressed with love. If you don't remind yourself to have faith in God, then you will lose it. If you don't remind yourself to love your neighbors, then you will soon hate them. If you don't remind yourself and get into the habit and the routine of trusting in God and loving your neighbors, then you will become like those around you who do nothing but hate. We are children of the light.
That's right.
And not only that, does he tell us to be sober and to get dressed. Put on your best. Put on faith and put on love. Put it into your mind, into your heart every single day. Don't skip a day. You skip meals? I don't skip no meals. But don't skip putting on the faith and love of God. Because it will be a protector unto you. Just like food is a protector for your health, faith and love of God is a protector for your soul. But the last thing the apostle tells us to put on hope, salvation, which is our helmet. And I want to leave y'all with this analogy before I move out of your way. It is football Sunday. My team is playing today. I said I'd be humble. I didn't want to boast. To all my Cowboy fans. Yes, I'm a Packers fan. But the truth of the matter is, I played football and I love playing football. And whenever we had a game, we always had to put on our equipment. And just like I'm suggesting to us this morning, we need to put on faith. We need to put on love. We need to literally put it on us. Just as I'm suggesting that I had to put on my equipment so that I could go out on the field. And I was thinking about it when the Lord was giving me this message, and I said, you know, Lord, the first thing I put on was my pants. Because to put my pants on, all football players will identify. I don't know what the first thing you put on after you burn them, but not you put on your pants, right? And then after I put on my pants, which is my loins, having been girded out with truth. That's what Ephesians says. And then I had to put on my cleats. My cleats was so that I could be stable and fit. It was a preparation for the gospel of peace. I had to put my cleats on. And then after that, I put on my shoulder pads, which is likened to a breastplate for me. You know, hard head, buckle it here, buckle it there. I put my jersey on. But the last thing I put on before going out was my helmet. I had to put my helmet on last because, see, I couldn't put on anything else if I put my helmet on first. And this is a good analogy for us, brothers and sisters, because the last thing you need to put on as you're getting dressed is your helmet of salvation. Yes, once I was playing in a game, and I got to the sideline, and I took my helmet off. And I put my helmet down, I could get some Gatorade. And then it was a turnover, and my team had to go back on the field. So I turn around, and I look, and I can't find my helmet. And since I was a starter, award-winning athlete.
That's right.
Yes,
sir.
I was always back and forth on my feet. So I'm running. I'm trying to get out there because, you know, they got to play it in the delay of game and all this stuff. And I'm looking for my helmet. And there's no way you can go out into this world. There's no way you can wage battle. There's no way that you can be successful if you leave behind your helmet.
Right.
Because the coach needed me on the field. All American, you know. Coach said to one of the little guys, give him your helmet. And I had to go on the field with somebody else's helmet. Don't you know that's uncomfortable? When you don't have the helmet of Christ Jesus, you are wearing someone else's helmet. And that's a very nasty helmet to be wearing. I'm talking about you got the sweat of the world all on your face. Somebody else is sweating mucus. I don't want to get graphic, but you got all of that on you.
All right.
When you forget the helmet of salvation. When you got on the helmet of this world, you got on a helmet that is only concerned with what appeals and what sells. But when you got on the helmet of salvation, you got on a helmet that is unto you, that is yours. A helmet that Christ has given you personally because he saved all of us individually. Oh, when you are wearing your own helmet, you can perform at your best. And don't forget to take your helmet because this is what you can cling to when you're going to make a hit. It will protect you and it will punish the world at the same time.
Well,
when you have on your helmet,
Yes.
You are reminded of the promises that await you in Christ Jesus. When you have on your helmet, you are aware of the gift of God that is awaiting you in heaven on high. When you have on your helmet,
you are reminded
of the truth of God, the truth of Christ Jesus, and all of the rewards that await you, all of the rewards that await you for your service to God on the battlefield. When you put on your helmet, you are ready for battle. And you have no reason to fear because you are children of the light. And the knowledge of Christ Jesus, the knowledge of God Almighty, is enough to keep your hearts and your minds secure. We're going into unforeseen times and uncertainty is facing us every day. Lord have mercy. We must face new words and new reports. But fear not, my brothers and sisters, for you have the sweet knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That he is operative inside of you. Get into the practice and the habit of putting on his qualities, and he will guide your footsteps. He will speak to you every morning. He will speak to you every night. He will guide, I don't have any witnesses in the house.
He will speak to you every morning.
He will speak to you every night. He will guide you while you're taking your test. He'll guide you while you're driving your car. He will tell you, fear not, my child, for I am with you. He will step into your situation. He will step into the hell of your circumstance.
And
with a few words, all will be still. All that has to say is peace.
Peace.
Your circumstance will change.
Come on now.
Fear not, my brothers and sisters, for we have work to do.
Yeah.
And nothing that happens in this world can stop us from giving God praise. Because God has blessed us. And we owe it to God. It is our reasonable service.
That's right. Yeah.
How many of you know that we can send our praise all the way up to God?
Come on now.
I did it before. And the Lord put it on my heart. I want to do it again.
Come on now. Sure.
We can send our praise all the way up to God. Nothing else can make it up there. Only our righteousness. And you might be familiar with this song. You don't have to sit in your seats. You can stand up.
Go outside, in the hood, it's mama's side. They put his tape deep inside, and it's deep inside.
Christ has paid the price for us all. The doors of the church are now open.
Yeah. Amen. Send it up.
There is one that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We do now and extend to you an invitation to discipleship. There is one who would like to know about Jesus. Allow a burning fire to inflame within their hearts. Allow them to be consumed with the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Allow their actions to be directed by you. Allow their minds to be protected by you. Oh God, we lift them up to you this morning, asking that you would shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger. From the least to the greatest, oh God, from the smallest to the oldest, oh Lord, we ask that you would touch them right now. Bless them as they go through the hallways of their schools. Bless them as they travel the school buses. Bless them, oh God, as they endure whatever goes on in the classroom. Oh God, if you bless them, we know they will be made well. Bless our young people, oh God, who are in college. Our young people who are in the military. Our young people who are entering into the workforce. We ask, oh Lord, that you would make their minds overjoyed in the knowledge of you, that they can withstand and overcome every trial and test that comes their way. And they can do so, oh God, and bring you the glory, honor, and the praise. Bless their parents. Bless their families. Bless their homes. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice, dear God. Bless every household and home here represented. Make us better for you, oh God. Better for your world. And oh God, bless this, your church. Make us one. Make us fit in your sight. Oh God, we give it all to you. We say hallelujah this morning and we praise your holy name. For you've done great things. And you will do much more, for it is your nature to love us. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And we count it all done. Amen.
Amen. All right now.
Let us stand.
our hearts and help. Oh God, we thank you so much. Never thank you enough. So, oh God, we want to thank you once more for the food that's been prepared for us. Pray that it edifies our body, edifies our spirits. And oh Lord, as we depart from this place, remind us, oh Lord, we can never depart from your presence. Be with us and keep us. Help us, oh Lord, as we go out into a dark world, that others might see our light and come running. What must they do to be saved? Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forevermore, as all God's people say it together.
Service. We have DC in the office.